Down the levee or midship, putting on the rig. That's where each and every Lulu Bell goes. Every Thursday evening with her swell bows, rubbing elbows, come with me and we'll attend their jubilee and see them spend their last few bits, putting on the rig.
Michael Wilde, and this is Mostly Singles on WGXC 90.7 FM. And tonight it's Bombier and Bombier, Bomb for the Soul, picking up right where we left off. Again, it's Roots, and the Roots of 45s are in 78s, not the 33 and a third LP. You know, it always struck me that in popular music back in the olden times, you never had to turn the 78 over to hear the rest of the song. And this isn't true for classical because that music wasn't written for a record. It was a pain to have to get up and flip the 78 in the middle of a scherzo. So a popular song or instrumental piece would neatly fit on one side. And there were two for the price of one record. That big thick needle spinning 78 revolutions per minute on a 10-inch disc set the limit on how long a song could go, which comes to about 3 minutes. And all the early music is structured that way, even the ballads, because there wasn't any other choice. So when 45s came in, and this could be pure Kentucky windage on my part. I mean, I didn't read this anywhere. I didn't glean it from a book or from research. I was just thinking about 78s and 45s. So, you know, this, I know that most things in this world are counterintuitive, but this just seemed to make sense to me. So this is just my thinking on this, that when 45s came in, that was modified only slightly, going from 10 inches to 7 inches on a disc, which, you know, cut the speed by a little less than half, but you still had a beginning, a middle, and an end in 3 or 4 minutes. I mean, at most, they went like 5 minutes, like late, in like the late 60s. But, I'm thinking, imagine, going back to the original 78, imagine how truncated that must have sounded to those first listeners, right? I mean, that was just an arbitrary amount of time to squeeze a song into. So there was the entire, 19th century of music making, and then all of a sudden, this machine gets introduced, and you're playing a record, and so there's like a translation going on, right? I mean, you're taking music that was traditionally produced in one area, and then transferring it or translating it into this technology that had a limit. So, it must have just sounded strange in the beginning. And I'm thinking that these limits of recording also help explain, to me anyway, why so many verses are left out of early folk music, or rather, why there are so many different sung verses of a similar song, especially ones that tell a story, because they were handed down from a time that predates the record industry. So I'm thinking a lot of editing must have been going on. And so, once there was a market, the music itself was composed and created to fit. And along with that were the stories. The themes, though, somehow never changed. So tonight it's mostly 78s, and as I say, the roots of what we have now spinning fast.
Raise a baby, get your big leg off of mine. Raise a baby, get your big leg off of mine. It's so heavy, made a good man change his mind. I ask you, baby, come and hold my head. I ask you, baby, come and hold my head. Send me word that you'd rather see me dead. I'm going, crying won't make me stay. I'm going, crying won't make me stay. Oh, you cry, father, you drive me away. Some crave high yellow, I like black and brown. Some crave high yellow, I like black and brown. Black won't quit you, brown won't lay you down. It was late at midnight, moon shine bright like day. It was late at midnight, moonshine bright like day. I seen your pharaoh going up the right away.
Then Danguilo from the Sweet Castellana by Moreno Torroba. That was Segovia, Andre Segovia, on his master's voice from April 1928, I think. My love affair with the guitar continues, and who better than with Segovia? Orchestral playing here, with the fuzz taken out, from the Golden Century Music LP, The Father of the Classical Guitar, 1927 to 1939. Born in 1893 in Spain, and it occurs to me that most of whom we're hearing tonight were born in the 19th century. I think that matters. It lends something to the idea that music is more than notes being plucked. It comes from a time and a world. And every time I listen to this, I hear something new and different. It's language, in this case, softly spoken and exquisitely inflected, which is true about pretty much every single thing I'm going to be playing tonight. It's going to be, as I say, balmier and balmier. It's sort of a part three tonight of this old-timey balm for the soul that I've been on this jag. And, you know, it's just, it's the sound of, it's a poignant sound of hope. And, you know, here comes the beautiful weather, and we're coming into spring, and, you know, and I just, this show is sort of like, you know, as I said, it's sort of the roots of the mostly singles idea of, you know, when I came into music, you know, what came before me, basically. Before that was Big Leg Blues. That was Mississippi John Hurt, whom we're going to be hearing a lot of tonight, on the OK label from 1928. A bootleg, unauthorized, single-sided mono test pressing from the original 1928 OK sessions. This one recorded December 21st in New York City, where he stayed for only a little while, then went back down to Avalon, where he sharecropped and worked in gravel pits for 35 years. You can find YouTubes of Mississippi John Hurt playing and telling stories, and if you do, look at his hands. His whole life is written in them. That such gentle, ethereal tones could be educed is nothing short of astonishing. Before that was Midnight Call Blues. That was Eddie Lang and Lonnie Johnson on the OK label from 1929. Guitar duet recorded in New York City on October 9th, 1929. You know, it was like 2 weeks later and the whole world was going to change. I played them last time, this Fabo pair. And tonight it's a cluster of similar artists. So just like the last show, which actually was a fundraiser, and thank you everybody for responding to the fundraiser. We still are looking for a sustaining supporting membership, and that's wgxc.org/donate. The fundraiser is over, but you know, I encourage you, if you like what you're listening to, if you like this show, if you like the radio station that you're listening to now, we're always looking for sustaining memberships. So, you know, I spent a good portion of the show last month on that topic, and there was some spillover from my, because I had put together the show and then realized we were doing a fundraiser, so I adapted and incorporated that into the format, and there were some songs left over, so I'm sort of picking up where we left off and then continuing with the same idea, because I just found the musicianship, there we go, there's a good radio word, to be so high that I wanted to keep that bar as high as I could possibly keep it, and I kept it to a smaller number of players. So we'll be hearing from, you know, several of them tonight. Usually I keep it to one artist per show, but I'm going to make an exception to the rule tonight. And then we started out that set with You Do Something For Me, Leo Reisman and his orchestra, on the Victor label from 1929. So those four numbers that we heard were all in the late 20s. It was from 28, two from 28, two from 29. This one by Cole Porter from the musical comedy 50 Million Frenchmen, with vocal refrain by Frank Luther, recorded on September 12th, 1929, in Liederkranz Hall in New York City. And as Ralph Waldo Emerson said, the excellent is always new. Just had to shoehorn in an Emerson quote. We started out this show with Putting on the Ritz, yet another version from 1930, this one on the label The Clevelanders, on the Imperial label, a pseudonym used by lots of rip-roaring bands. So, you know, there are a lot of The Clevelanders out there for, I don't know, they had their reasons for using pseudonyms, I'm sure. So your guess as to who this truly is most likely better than mine. If your guess is Harry Reaser, I wouldn't say so, but who knows? Somebody out there knows.
For just a night like this, filled with bliss, you led my heart astray. For just a real sweet chance to learn romance in a perfect way, it was the end of a perfect day. The moon was all aglow and heaven was in your eyes. When I thought you told no forgetting when evening appears, I sigh, but there's no regretting in spite of my tears. The devil was in your heart, but heaven was in your eyes. And I thought you told me having fun, and maybe you think you're wise to do what you're doing with little white lies. Someday you'll meet someone and you'll suddenly realize you don't feel like telling those little white lies. You will love that somebody who you think is true. Someday you will find that someone is cheating on you. A smile will be on her lips, the tears will be in your eyes. Your heart will be broken.
Wa-dee-da-dee, how can you refrain from singing a strain? Wa-dee-da-dee, I keep singing, wa-dee-da-dee, you keep singing this funny old tune. will drive me to ruin. It came along and made me a slave. Now I'm craving things that I shouldn't crave. What did I do? First you hum it. What did I do? Then you strum it. That queer melody called what did I do?
In a booksie, hurry mister and take a look-see. Ooh, golly, ain't she cute. Just take a look at her style, and what a profile, now there's something new. And imagine her standing right by my side and saying I do. Do I like her? Do I love her? Could I make a playmate of her? Ooh, golly, ain't she cute. Now I've been across the water, and I've traveled everywhere, and I've never seen a daughter who with her can compare. She's got me all a flurry, and that girl is so divine. Oh, gee, I wish she'd hurry and tell me she'll be mine. Who's the other old civilian? It's her father worth a million. Ooh, come on, ain't she cute? And see the fur coat that he bought her? She must be his only daughter. Ooh, come on, ain't she cute? My word, she's looking this way, and she wants me to play. She's rolling her eyes. Her papa looks mad, she's calling him dad, but he isn't wise. I'm a what's it, she's a who's it, all my heart I'm going to lose it. Ooh, golly, ain't she cute. When we two go gad about him, all the fellas started shouting. Say, who's the cute little baby you got there, ain't she cute? What a costume, how she wears it, when she's angry, how she tears it. Ooh, golly, ain't she cute. Say, she just bought me a box of beautiful socks, and I'll say they're great. But I'm the fall guy, cause she knows that I must reciprocate. And she likes my father, likes my mother. Why, she tells them I look like their brother. Now tell me, isn't she very cute?
Oh, golly, ain't she cute? Or it's ooh. Ooh, golly, ain't she cute. That was Jack Smith, the Whispering Baritone, on the Victor label, recorded April 28th, 1927. Right smack dab in the middle of the whispering craze, a different type of crooning, all made possible by the advent of the microphone used in the electric recording process. That's electric with quotes around it. Started 2 years earlier in 1925. Before that, you had to belt your tune into a glory horn. Jack Smith plays the piano too, and if you listen to enough of these whispering recordings, his singing sounds just like the way he plays. The inflections are identical, or just about. And before that, that was the Three Keys on the Brunswick label singing Wa-Di-Da, or Wa-Wa-Wa-Di-Da, recorded August 29th, 1932 in New York. They are George Bon Bon Tunnel, vocal, Slim Furness, vocal, steel guitar, and Bob Pease, 6 foot 4 inch pianist and tenor. And at one point in the early 20s, Bob was a pitcher for the West Philadelphia Giants. I've played them before and I can't get enough. This was a group that took no time to get famous, starting on the radio right around the time of this recording in mid-August 1932. So it was like they started on the radio like 2 weeks before they made this record, and they were already famous. There was nothing else like them on the air. A pioneering black vocal instrumental group and a role model for many future others, even though the group only lasted 3 or 4 years. George Tunnel started solo, singing with Jan Savitz Orchestra from 1937 to 42, the first black singer to be employed by a white bandleader, and went on to record with the Redcaps, also known as the Toppers. Slim Furness founded the Four Keys, who recorded for Decca in the 40s, including some sides with Ella, not to be confused with the Five Keys, which were a completely different band. There's only one clip of them in existence. It's a 1.5 minute number of the trio singing Them Their Eyes, which maybe one of these days I'll play because it's also pretty great. Then we started out the set with Little White Lies. That was Annette Hanshaw and Velvetone from 1930, a beauty composed by Walter Donaldson, and here from the year it was published. Annette Hanshaw recorded this in New York, and the pianist not listed in the Columbia Archives was probably Rube Bloom, who often accompanied her. That's Rube Bloom from Sapphire, which is a really rare record. My friend Rich Connedy, the late great Rich Connedy, I think he played it once on his show, and I flipped for it. It was considered a novelty, but it's actually a really sophisticated piece of piano work, and I couldn't find it anywhere. And he made me a copy of his record, and I played it on the show. Maybe I'll play it again. It's really pretty great. Anyway, that was him. That was he, accompanying Annette, and who, by the way, intensely disliked most of her records. She didn't think she was good enough to record, suffering from stage fright and attacks of nerves. So she's hearing things, this is what I'm imagining, I mean, based on interviews, she's hearing things and judging herself for something we can't hear, or at least I don't. Of all of her recordings, and there are about 250 of them, she mentions only 5 that she liked, and only 1 that she loved, this not being one of them. Little White Lies, which gives me chills when I hear it. It makes the shivers go up and down my arms. I just think it's beautiful. It was also one of Paul and John's favorite songs when they were growing up together in Liverpool. And I love it that they love this music. And this is Michael Wilde, mostly singles. We're hearing old timey music tonight. I'm calling it Balmier and Balmier. Loosely structured, I'm referring to this as the roots of 45s. Whether or not that's true, you know, it seems true. It's just, I just got captivated by this period of music. I mean, I've been captivated by this period of music for a long time now. And it predates the electric guitar. And it turns out when I was finished putting the show together, it turns out that there was a real thread and a focus on specifically different styles of finger picking of guitar. And although there's lots of crooning and some bands, it's really just it's an accidental focus that maybe isn't so accidental after all. Thank you.
I'm satisfied. Tickled too, old enough to marry you. I'm satisfied. It's gonna bring you back. I'm satisfied. Tickled too, old enough to marry you. I'm satisfied. It's gonna bring you back. First in the country, then in town, I'm a total old shaker from a neighbor on down. I'm satisfied. It's gonna bring you back. I'm satisfied. Tickled too, old enough to marry you. I'm satisfied. It's gonna bring you back. To my knees, I give my total load of who I please. I'm satisfied. It's gonna bring you back. I'm satisfied. Tickled too, old enough to marry you. I'm satisfied. It's gonna bring you back. I'm satisfied, tickled too, old enough to marry you. I'm satisfied. It's gonna bring you back. I'm satisfied, tickled too, old enough to marry you. I'm satisfied. It's gonna bring you back. Thank you.
How about that? That was Swing Out Rhythm, Lonnie Johnson on the Decca label from 1937. Recorded in Chicago on November 8th. Lonnie Johnson, born in New Orleans. Forget it. I shouldn't even try. Born in New Orleans in 1899, an American blues and jazz singer, guitarist, violinist, and songwriter. He was a pioneer of jazz guitar and jazz violin and is recognized as the first to play an electrically amplified violin. On many of his early recordings from the 20s, he played 12-string guitar solos in a style that influenced such future greats as Charlie Christian and Django Reinhardt, and gave the guitar a new voice. Famous for experimental improvisations in a time when style labels were loose at best, playing things that defied categorization, Lonnie Johnson was also the creator of the guitar solo played note by note with a pick, which became the standard in jazz, blues, country, and rock. He is the roots. Though at the time, in the 1920s and 30s, he was best known as a singer. The ads, there's like 40 of them, the ads for his records never even mentioned the guitar. So, you go back in time, you find out things, right? Before that, I'm Satisfied. That was Mississippi John Hurt from the Complete Studio Recordings on the Vanguard label from 2000. Born 1892 in, I don't know how to say this, Teoc, Mississippi. This is T-E-O-C. I'm imagining that they probably say it differently, but I'm still going to say Teoc, Mississippi. Recorded July 1964, either at the Manhattan Towers Hotel or at Vanguard's 23rd Street Recording Studio in New York City. I was not sure which one of those he recorded that in. This dates from the coffee house and festival circuit period during the 60s folk revival, and originally appeared on the Vanguard LP Mississippi John Hurt Today! Exclamation point. So basically, if you go into the catalog, what you find with Mississippi John Hurt are 12 sides for OK, a 13th bootleg, which I played earlier, and those are all from 1928, and then he goes to New York City and Memphis to record those, and then goes, the record industry, collapsed in the Depression. I mean, there were all sorts of factors. He ended up going back to what he was doing, as a farmer, earning a living however he could, and played for the next 35 years, played at dances and parties, and that was it for recording. And then, the story goes, he was contacted by some enthusiast who heard him refer to Avalon in one of his songs from the 20s. And he went in search of him and knocked on his door. And there he was, and brought him up to into what became the 60s folk revival, and he was one of the spearheaders of it. And so then they made a bunch of recordings in the early 60s during that period. He died in 66, and this, what we just heard, came from that period, that early 60s period. And there's a sort of a boatload, a trove of songs from that, that wheelhouse, if that's the right word. Before that, Guitar Chimes, that was Blind Arthur Blake. We don't know his last name. Paramount, September 1929. He was born blind in Jacksonville, Florida, maybe, could be Virginia, in 1896. Ragtime blues singer and guitarist with perhaps some connection to the Georgia Sea Islands. I mean, the reason there's all these perhapses and some is that there's not a lot known about Blind Blake, and so people have deduced things. There's some idea that he might have had a cousin or some cousins, some part of his family that was from the Georgia Sea Islands, because he lapses into Gullah on one of his songs. So they're thinking that maybe there's something there, but nobody knows. He died early. He died at age 38 in Milwaukee, mostly from being broke. Blake recorded about 80 sides for Paramount between 1926 and 1932, and when the label went out of business that year, it being the Depression, he seems not to have found work as a musician, and along with nearly everyone else, hit the skids. A lot of people who know about guitar say he played it like the piano, which is to say not just with percussion, but orchestrally too, in the way he makes it speak, with complex and intricate finger picking that inspired an entire generation. Ineffable music, that's what I'm calling it. And we opened the set with Stompin' at the Savoy. That was George Barnes and Carl Kress on the Music Minus One label. The album was published in 1970. It's from the LP 10 Duets for Two Guitars, but the recording is from the early 60s. Carl Kress, along, and I don't have an exact date, but before 64. Carl Kress, along with Eddie Lang, some consider the founder of jazz guitar, while Lang, whom we heard in the first set tonight, pioneered the single-string horn-inspired line. Kress pioneered chord soloing. Started out as a banjoist with the Paul Whiteman Orchestra, playing alongside Bix Beiderbecke and Frankie Trumbauer, with whom he recorded some sides in 1927 as the Chicago Loopers, and in the following 2 years joined the bands of Tommy and Jimmy Dorsey, Miff Mole, and Red Nichols. And here we're in Rich Connolly country now. In fact, this whole night is, sort of. And although he didn't play so much blues, he played mostly, he said, the guys in tuxedos. So we're going to be hearing some of them, too. Kress switched over to guitar in the early 1930s and used the all-fifths tuning carried over from his banjo. I think I mentioned that last time. He tuned his guitar like the way banjo players tune their banjos, which is to say it's an all-fifths tuning, which gives you a certain effect. And it is here that he made guitar duet history with Eddie Lang and also Dick McDonough, which we'll hear later on. We'll get to it, if we get to it. I think we will. It's guitar night tonight, and I think I'm in love. Thank you.
I've got the words, I've got the tune. I've been rehearsing under the moon, but I've got nobody to hear my song, so I'm humming to myself. I've got the place, I've got the time. I've got a lot of love words that rhyme, but I've got nobody to hear my song, so I'm humming to myself. I guess it just had to be. Won't someone listen to me? I've got the words, I've got the tune. I'd like to croon it under the moon, but I've got nobody to hear my song, so I'm humming to myself.
Hot ginger and dynamite, that's all you can get at night. Back in Nagasaki where the fellas shoot a backy and the women wicky wacky woo. They set you up on the floor, no wonder your pants get sore. Back in Nagasaki where the fellas shoot a backy and the women wicky wacky woo. Well, Fujiyama, you get a mama, and then your troubles increase. In some pagoda, she orders soda, the earth shakes, milkshakes, 10 cents a piece. They huggy and kissy nice,
By jingo, it's worth the price. Back in Nagasaki, where the fellas shoot a baggy and the women wicked wide.
Troubles increase. In some pagodas, she oughta soda, neo shakes, milkshakes, dance, and to beast.
Play huggy and kissy nice. Why, jingo, it's worth the price. Baggy, like a tiger, where the fellas shoot the baggy, and the women wicky wacky, woo woo.
Welcome, boy, as the flowers in me. Oh, boy, you're welcome. I said you're welcome. You're welcome, boy. Yes, you're welcome. There's a little bit of saucer and a little lace. Yes, it will feel hollow late. Oh, boy, you're welcome. I said you're welcome. You're welcome, boy. Yes, you're welcome. Yes, a little bit of coffee and a little milk. It will go down smooth as silk. Ooh, boy, you're welcome. I said you're welcome. You're welcome, boy. Yes, you're welcome. There's a little bit of and a little bread. Well, you might as well go back to bed. Oh, boy, you're welcome. I said you're welcome. You're welcome, boy. Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome, boy. Oh, yes, you're welcome. You're welcome, boy. Yes, you're welcome. Oh, it's my heart. It's that away. There's a welcome, boy, as the flowers in me. Oh, boy, you're welcome.
I like that last little funny note. I wonder if that was on purpose. It's a beautiful note. It sounded like a slip, but it's gorgeous. That was Boys, You're Welcome, Mississippi John Hurt from the Complete Studio Recordings on the Vanguard label from 2000. From the Last Sessions, recorded February 1966 at Manhattan Towers in New York and July 1966 at Vanguard's 23rd Street Recording Studio in New York, and it was one or the other. It's really hard to get information on some of these last recordings. You've got to dig, and that's as close as I could get from the year he died. And if you're looking to categorize this artist by regional style or thematic content, good luck. He resists compartmentalization as a storyteller in his nuanced phrasing and shading of colors, effortless delivery, sweetness, you name it. Significantly, too, he chose to stay home and, as I said before, he would play at parties, at dances, at barbecues. In other words, he didn't board that freight train. And in some ways, he's everything the blues isn't. You won't hear hollering, howling, whooping, or stomping, or eefing, or hoodling, for that matter. Before that, Nagasaki, that was the Three Keys on the Brunswick label, recorded October 5th, 1932. 3 days later, on October 8th, they were part of the entertainment at the Renaissance Casino, an affair thrown by the Roosevelt for President Club of Harlem. Cab Calloway was there, as well as U.B. Blake, Noble Sissel, Ernest Bubbles Whitman, the Palmer Brothers, and other greats. Thursday, June 29th, 1933, so this is like a year later, marked the last radio broadcast of the Three Keys. They were heard at 6:30 over WEAF. Their radio career had flamed and sputtered in slightly less than a year, and by September, the Three Keys held their last recording session. Right after that, they left for England, and that November, I'm talking about 1933 here, only two of the keys returned. So something happened, but we don't know what. Bon Bon eventually returned in February 1934, and the group went on, but it wasn't the same. It's murky. And yet, here they are in Clover. And before that, Everything I Have Is Yours. I played that one before, and I'm happy to play it again. That was Irene Taylor on the Vocalion label from 1933. See, I didn't realize I've been sort of grouping these according to year. I mean, it's really coming out that way. We're in 32-33 in this set, with an exception with Mississippi John there. But that song, Everything I Have Is Yours, is from Dancing Lady, starring Joan Crawford, along with Gable and Franco Tone. Joan is Flapper, from a vintage year. And if you haven't seen it, I'm not going to exactly recommend it, but it's an eye-opener. And here, Irene Taylor, who in 1933 sang with 21 different orchestras. Everything I Have Is Yours was written by Burton Lane, lyrics by Harold Adamson that year. Al Boley sang it in the following year. So did Rudy Valley, and Billy Eckstein did a version of it in 1947 with Sarah Vaughan. Eddie Fisher, Billie Holiday, and Shirley Bassey with Nelson Riddle in his orchestra in 1962. And I've noticed that a high number, an extremely high number of these early 30s songs translate through the decades and just keep going. No matter the style, no matter the stylus, they transcend. And, it's mostly 78s tonight, and mostly singles. It's the Bombier and Bombier show. It's theoretically a roots show. It feels like one. It also just feels like just swimming in this incredibly beautiful crooning and guitar music from the late 20s and early 30s, with a few exceptions, but everything kind of fits together to me. Anyway, we opened with Humming to Myself, or Hummin' to Myself. I'm not sure. You see it with the apostrophe N. I'm going to say it's Humming to Myself. That was Ambrose and his orchestra on his Master's Voice from 1932, a Ry Munroe arrangement of the Sammy Fain classic, with Sam Brown doing the vocal refrain. It appears in the 1933 Fleischer cartoon Betty Boop's Birthday Party, sung by Mae Questel as Boop. Then again in 2004 by Linda Ronstadt, her album's title track. And we're going to keep going on this 78 show with Frank Stokes.
And I'm going, and your crying won't make me sleep. And the more you cry, gal, the further you drive me away. When I leave your house, pin a black crape on your door. Tell your man ain't dead, you ain't coming back here no more. Ever dream you lucky and wake up cold in hand? I wouldn't have a mother's dollar to give your house rent. Take me in your arms, run me good and slow. Take me in your arms, run me good and slow. So you get a Frank Stokes blues anywhere on earth you go. Ah, so easy be easy when you are easy.
Thank you.
little girl, my little girl, my little girl, she bust the draw. My little girl, she bust the draw. My little girl, she bust the draw. I'm scared the goody coming from the Sandy Claus.
That was Elizabeth Cotton playing Wilson Rag on the Smithsonian Folkways label from 1958, from Elizabeth Cotton's debut album Folk Songs and Instrumentals with Guitar, also known as Freight Train and Other North Carolina Folk Songs and Tunes. Elizabeth Cotton, who played her instrument upside down, being left-handed, as many true originals are. Why is that? You know? I've noticed that. She was born in North Carolina in 1893 and died in Syracuse at age 94 in 1987. For one reason and another, Cotton did not begin performing publicly and recording until she was in her 60s, having written and composed songs from when she was in her early teens, starting at like age 9, I think. And I think she wrote Freight Train, which is like an incredibly popular, important song when she was 11. I played that last time. Here's what happened. And it's sort of, you know, it's a typical story. It's also not a very happy one, but, you know, it has a happy ending. While working in a department store, and this is true, as far as I know, while working in a department store, she helped a lost wandering child find her mother, who turned out to be the composer Ruth Crawford Seeger from the renowned musical Seegers. You know, Pete was the son of Charles from a previous marriage, and Charles being married to Ruth here. She was hired as a maid. Now we're talking about Elizabeth Cotton now. She was hired as a maid caring for their children, the little Seegers, during which she remembered her own playing from 40 years earlier and picked up the guitar and relearned it from scratch, or nearly from scratch. Near the end of the 50s, Mike Seeger began making bedroom reel-to-reel recordings of Cotton's songs in her house. These became the album Folk Songs and Instrumentals with Guitar, where this is from, what we just heard, the Wilson Rag, an album that, along with some of the others we're hearing tonight, helped launch the 60s and everything that followed. An incredibly important person here. You know, and you can tell. And I love it when the composer plays. It's just that you're getting something that you're not going to get anywhere else. It's just, I'm a real huge fan of hearing the composer play his and her music. It's a beautiful thing. As we heard from the song before that, which was Lucky's, that was a rare live version of a live performance that was Jay Clarkson from the Radio New Zealand Saturday morning show from August 27th, 2016. And that was the title cut from the album Spur. Well, I don't know. It's not a title cut. I mean, the title cut is actually the last number, which was a guitar solo. It's the first cut from the album Spur with superb guitar that continues to haunt me. I love this version. You can get the whole interview with Jay by going to jayclarkson.com under Spur/album reviews, and this is the Kim Hill interview. And it's just, you know, I haven't heard, she picks up her guitar and knocks that out, and you know, I love it just as much as the one on the record, which I've played, I think, twice on this show. It's how much I love that song. It really does haunt me. And I think it fits perfectly, too, with all of the playing and singing that we're hearing tonight. It's just, it's from way late. It's from another century, the one we're in now. And it's just, I think it connects with this stuff. For me. Before that, that was more Mississippi John Hurt. That was a buck dance called Stock Time from the Complete Studio Recordings Vanguard 2000, the label Vanguard. Not sure when this was recorded, sometime between 1964 and 1966, or either 1964 or 1966. So it's one of those 3 years. And again, I couldn't track it down. And I spent a lot of time trying. You know, I thought, why is this so important? Well, it turns out to me it is important, especially coming this late in the career of this guy. I mean, he died in 66, so I figure the last, you know, this is his legacy, so I want to try to nail down as much as I can about this. This is as much as I could get. We started out with Frank Stokes' Dream, which I don't understand why it's called that. He sings throughout the song, he's singing Frank Stokes' Blues, but the name of the song is Frank Stokes' Dream. So maybe it was a dream. That was on the Victor label from 1929. Born in either 1877 or 1888. I mean, you know, we're off by 11 years here, but not part of the confusion is that the 1877 date comes from a draft card. So we're not really sure. But he was born in Whitehaven, Tennessee. Frank Stokes began playing around the turn of the century and wound up in Memphis, where he became a favorite entertainer. Considered by many to be the originator of the Memphis blues guitar style, popularized in vaudeville and medicine shows and associated with Beale Street and W.C. Handy. He busked on the streets there in the early 1900s and joined with fellow songsters that led to touring the South in tent shows, where he honed his musicianship and professionalism. Jimmy Rogers was also on that circuit and borrowed a lot. Songs, song fragments, he owes it to Frank Stokes. And in addition to duets, Stokes played in a jug band, which emphasized, you know, if you listen to those jug bands, they're hard to find, those recordings. Now with the internet, you can find them pretty fast. Back in the 70s, I remember looking for jug bands, and it was hard to find those records. The jug band music emphasizes a propulsive dance beat and syncopation. So you're hearing both, you know, sides of Frank Stokes here. He cut 38 sides for Paramount and Victor Records, the last of which from this year, 1929, were not favored by the public. And that was it for recording. He was still popular live and continued into the 30s and 40s in medicine shows, tent shows, and the Ringling Brothers Circus. So if you were around in the 40s, the circus came to town, you could hear Frank Stokes. And, you know, and it's strange to me, too, that, you know, the record-buying public decides, oh, you know, we're not so crazy about this music anymore. You know, I understand that. But then to be just incredibly popular live, I mean, that tells you something right there of what a complete performer he must have been. I mean, he sounds electrifying on these records. He must have been even more in real life. So that's Frank Stokes. And we're only hearing one from him tonight. This is Michael Wilde. You're listening to the Bombier and Bombier show. Roots, I'm calling it Roots of 45s. And we're going to continue now with Stage Fright. Thank you.
I got those mean old low-down blues. Oh, gee, it's tough to be in love when the one you're thinking of never has a single thought about you. No matter what you do, I just fell in love alone, even though I should have known. Never care, but what can I do? What is this love? I just go alone, right or wrong, thinking of him constantly. But the one I love just can't be bothered with me. Try to stay away, and I say, I'll find other company. Cause the one I love just can't be bothered with me. I keep making my mind up, but I wind up hanging round his old front door. When I get a real throw down, I feel low down, but I keep coming back for more. Maybe I could get some hot men, but there's no one I can see. Just the one who says you can't be bothered with me. Trouble, trouble, I've had it all my days. Trouble, trouble, I've had it all my days. Sometimes I think the trouble will carry me to my grave. Though I tear my hair, he don't care, drive me to insanity. But the man I love just can't be bothered with me. Ain't got no time at the end of day, still that way, nothing but that face I see. But the man I love just can't be bothered with me. I keep making my mind up, but I wind up just the way I was before. Honey, I want you only cause I'm lonely and for it's you that I adore. Maybe I could get some that I've met, but there's no one I can see. Cause the man I love ain't got no time, he don't wanna be bothered with me.
Doggy, I had a doggone dog, was all the world to me. Just a plain old dog, without a pedigree. He can't do no fancy tricks, or jump no big high fence. He's as good as you'd expect to buy for 15 cents. That dog, the doggone dog of mine. All that doggone dog can do is eat and sleep and whine.
I bobbed his tail to some extent just to make him look intelligent.
Dog, dog, doggone dog, the doggone dog of mine.
He's got a head like a rabbit and he's shaped like a hound, and he eats anything he finds laying on the ground.
Dog, dog, doggone dog, the doggone dog of mine. Got
Sometimes we don't know whether he's a dog or not. The dog catchers picked him up the other day, threw him in the pen.
Yeah, but they just took one good look at him and threw him out again.
That dog, that doggone dog, the doggone dog of mine. All that doggone dog can do is eat and sleep and whine.
He's wild about his vegetables, from sweet potatoes down to pumpkins.
Yeah, but the thing that this dog likes the best is the fricassee chicken with the dumplings.
Dog, dog, doggone dog, the doggone dog of mine.
I dedicate that song to Jimmy. That doggone dog of mine. That was the Three Keys on the Brunswick label from, it was recorded January 9th, 1933, released that March. And sensational. The One I Love Just Can't Be Bothered With Me. That was Annette Hanshaw on the OK label from March 1930. Her career only lasted 10 years, even though she was more popular than Ruth Etting and also Kate Smith. And this is her quote. This is Annette Hanshaw. "When I first started recording, I thought my voice was more relaxed and natural. But as time went on and I became more successful, I became more nervous, and I don't think my later things were as good as the very first ones." That's the quote. But even those she disparaged. She covered it well. In the 1930s, she was known as the personality girl, and her trademark was saying, "That's all," in a cheery voice at the end of the record. At the time, at the heyday of radio, she said she was afraid of broadcasting. When asked why, she answered, "I'm so afraid I'll fail, not sing my best. Suppose I should have to cough. Suppose I didn't get just the right pitch, and all those people listening." To which I say, Annette, join the club. Or rather, I'm joining her club. Before that was Away Down on the Alley Blues. That was Lonnie Johnson on the OK label from July 1928. More from Lonnie, leading with that pick. Now you know where B.B. Keat... You know, I should just skip the line. You know? Anyway, it's about B.B. King and where he came from, etc., etc. I think we all know that B.B. King, who is no slouch, owes his roots to... you know, players like Lonnie Johnson. It's not exactly a secret. And it's nothing against B.B. King. I mean, he was like the last of the long line of great, great guitar players and songwriters. And this is, to me, this is interesting. Now, I don't know if it's interesting to you, but it's interesting to me, so I'm going to share it with you. OK Records was founded by the Otto Heinemann Phonograph Company, a phonograph supplier that branched into records in 1918, whose label was spelled OK, O-K-E-H, from the initials of Otto K.E. Heinemann, O-K-E-H. Not a slangy, loose way of saying OK, which I thought for most of my life until yesterday. Now, to me, this is as eye-opening as realizing that Roy Orbison wasn't blind. Well, maybe not as eye-opening, but, you know, didn't you think so, too? Anyway, okay. Before that, Stage Fright. That was Dick Madonna and Carl Kress on the Brunswick label from July 1934. More from Carl Kress, here with Dick Madonna. One of the original compositions played by the two first... call session guitarists of the first, all right, the two first call session guitarists of the 1930s. Back then, if you wanted to be on a record, you had to know how to play, which is something that stopped being true in my time, especially in 1977. You know, I'm thinking that that rush to record sometimes precluded musicality. Tonight, though, it's musicians all. And, we've got a few minutes left, and we're going to keep it going with on this 78 show with Carl Kress again playing Sutton Mutton.
Something dreamy for for dancing while we're here romancing. It's love's holiday, and love will be our guide. Close your eyes. When you open them, dear, I'll be near by your side. So won't you close your eyes?
Close Your Eyes. That was Eddie Duchin and his orchestra. The Victor label from 1933. Coming up at 10 p.m., Battlefield Earth with Dan Seward. Mostly Singles is produced for Wave Farms WGXC 90.7 FM in the Hudson Valley, New York State. Hope you had a great time. This has been an education for both of us. Till next time, good night.
Did all I can do, and I can't get along with you. I'm gonna take you to your mama, payday, payday, payday. Well, the rabbit in the lawn, I ain't got no rabbit dog, and I hate to see that rabbit. Get away, get away. Baby did all I can do, and I can't get along with you. I'm gonna take you to your mama, baby. About a week ago, I stole your hand with me. I'm gonna keep my killers busy if I can. Gonna take care of them. If I can, if I can. You know what happened to me? Well, the house is on my track, and the knapsack on my back. I'm gonna make it to my shanty 4 days, 4 days, 4 days. Baby did all I could do, and I'm gonna take you to your mama, payday. Lord, I hate to see that rat get away. get away. Can't get along with you. I'm going